This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All righty, hour number 2 here on the show as we get ready for a 4th of July holiday. Batik and I are here to guide you through. So if you're in the car, driving around, getting to the lake or wherever you're going, certainly get there safely. And we've got another couple of hours on this Friday, early July. Tiki and Tierney coming from our studios here at the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. All right, so that is something we were chasing. We needed to have an MVP on the show that can weigh in, and Santa delivered Dale Murphy, which was a great job. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's just smart. He's sensitive. He communicated it well.
Yep.
And he was very frank, by the way. He's like, you know, I didn't really know anything about Kennesaw Mountain Landis. And he's got two of those big hardware sitting in his trophy room at home. And he probably sees the name every day. I'm not saying he sits there and stares at his trophies from, 30 years ago. But anytime he looks at it, you're going to see Kennesaw Mountain Landis. But when we asked Dale, he said, you know, it never really registered. I didn't really know much about him. And based on his desire to, with his MVP brethren, get a sense of why they were so opposed to it and so staunchly against that name remaining on it, Barry Larkin, Mike Schmidt, Terry Pendleton, and others, he's been doing a lot of listening. Very compelling case, no doubt. Good stuff with Dale Murphy. Now we get to this. And, you know, it was going to take a movement like we are currently in to rattle Daniel Snyder's cage. There's just no other way to say it. The arrogance, the petulance, the ignorance that he continued to flash repeatedly year upon year, and at this point now, decade upon decade, to something that, you know, more and more and more has been positioned as vile and reprehensible and offensive, a slur. Now he can't run and he can't duck and he can't hide. He could have until FedEx took away their money, or at least threatened to.
Yeah.
And Nike expunged all of the Redskins stuff from their site last night. Matter of time. When are you changing the name, Daniel? We're waiting.
Yeah, you're right. We mentioned this a bit yesterday, BT, but just some further clarity on it. There were 87 investment firms and shareholders who have a combined net worth of $620 billion. They sent a letter to all of the brands that are supporters of the Washington Redskins, whether it would be Nike or Pepsi. Obviously, FedEx is one as well, imploring them to change their name, imploring the Redskins and Daniel Snyder to rethink his resistance to changing his name. And I think it started to come to a head significantly yesterday. We saw this right after our show ended, BT, where FedEx, which has a to the tune of $200 million, a naming rights deal that goes through 2025, told the Redskins, we are formally requesting you to change your name. It's one thing to have a conversation. It's another to formally request that they change their name and threaten the monetary benefit that the Redskins would see. And then on top of that, you started seeing this on social media. Nike scrubbed all of their sites of sales sites, their shops of Redskins gear, which if you didn't, you know, really buy into what FedEx was doing, when you stop being able to sell or purchase merchandise, which is one of the biggest money makers for any professional sports team, then things are about to change. Now, the Redskins have not fully bowed yet to pressure. Daniel Snyder has not fully bowed to pressure, but he is convening a committee to talk about this, which you can't see it any other way because they've never said that before, that they're about to change the name. And it's about time.
Well, you know, I was trying to find some information on this, and quite frankly, I just didn't have any luck. If they, not if, when they mm-hmm. decide to change the name, and I think it might even happen by the end of this week, and if not, it's going to happen within the next week, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if they decide that they want to do it, can they actually do it for this season?
I mean,
because I know when you want to change your uniform, you've got to put in.
Question.
I couldn't find the answer to that. I looked everywhere.
I'm trying to think the last time.
What's about a rabbit hole I was in? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Trying to think the last time a team changed, but you kind of knew it like 2 years before, right?
That's what I'm saying. And I don't mean locations like the Cardinals from St. Louis to. I mean the nickname.
Yeah.
The last time that happened.
Well, I mean, the Redskins have had, you know, many. They started as the Braves, right? The Boston Braves, because they shared the same stadium as the Braves, who are now in Atlanta, but then they changed their name a few times, ultimately settling on the Redskins. And at the time, it wasn't viewed as offensive, because that's what people at least said. That's what Native Americans called themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, it's become a derogatory term. And while some people are okay with it and see it as somewhat of a celebration of American Indians, there's a significant portion, even if it's less than 50%, that are offended by it. And when it gets that high, you have to act, you have to change. And I think what's made it so difficult for the Redskins, if at least for Daniel Snyder, is because there's a significant brand association with the logo and, you know, with their name. And so to like divorce yourself from that and start over just seems daunting. But you mentioned this yesterday, BT, and you're right. If you do the right thing and you change the narrative and you do it for the right reasons, all those Redskins fans who are now will be whatever fans are going to buy into it. You know, they're going to buy the new gear. They're going to, because they'll certainly be shamed in wearing the old gear. You know what I mean?
Yes,
So if you change the name for the right reason, and now all of a sudden people aren't going to wear their old school Redskins gear with the logo, the chief logo and everything else, then they're going to go get the new gear. And it's actually going to be a boon for you, you would think.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Daniel Snyder has seen it a different way.
Yeah, he has. And that grip is obviously lessening. It's, the knuckles are starting to get white and, you know, he's starting to reel from gripping too tight. Eventually, he's going to have to relinquish control, something he's basically fought almost his entire adult life against doing, but he's going to have to do it. And I know TV put this up on the screen. I want to rip through some of these for our radio audience because a lot of these, actually, every one but one, well, but two, of some of the recent changes, logos or names, is college. I mean, you go back to Miami of Ohio, where Big Ben went. They changed from the Redskins to the Red Hawks in 96.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's, obviously, I know that. They went from the Redmen to the Red Storm in 94 when Felipe Lopez came. The Indians, now they're still the Indians, but they removed the Chief Wahoo logo last year. Marquette used to be the Warriors, and now they're the Golden Eagles. They did that back in 1994. Illinois, the Illini, they retired their chief back in 2007. Arkansas State went to the Red Wolves in 2008 from the Indians. And the Warriors changed the Native American logo to the Bay Bridge in 1969, which I think is one of the cooler logos in all the sports. I love that Bay Bridge. That is a sweet logo. Warriors have sweet gear.
Yeah.
But the point is, I think that there's a way to do this and still And certainly do the right thing. Be on the right side of history. Come up with a cool concept. You can even keep the hashtag. The hashtag HTTR.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't they have a contest years ago when the Red Tails won, right?
Yeah.
I think the Red Tails.
Yeah, because that was one. I was looking at like suggestions for what they should change their name to, and they're popping up all over the internet. And one of them was go back to the Red Tails, or at least revisit the Red Tails, which was one that was posited a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Hey, KP, there you go. HTTR. Hail to the Red Tails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hail to the Hogs. That's no, seriously, that the Hogs is getting some love.
Yeah.
They got to do this.
Yeah, but they're not the Hogs anymore.
No, I know.
I mean, I hear it. I that's interesting.
I know what you mean.
Because when you start talking about, all right, what should they be called? There's many, many different, suggestions that are out there. I love that yours in the Slack channel. We can't say it because it was a little bit vulgar to some of our politicians in this country.
Was I wrong?
Yeah, no, you were dead right.
Every one of them.
Every one of them. But still, it's a cool opportunity for them to take advantage of a bad situation and yeah. and make it new and cool and unique, and who knows how people will embrace it. And you'll certainly have a population of Native Americans in this country who will feel so much better about it, even if they weren't necessarily offended.
You know, I did a lot of digging, and I came up with some really old articles, and there was one in particular that caught my attention here. Let me see if I could pull it up. One was in the Time. One was Time Magazine, and one was from the Berkeley News, which was fairly recent, a couple of months back. Yeah. And they talked to psychologists, and but I can't reference both; it would take too long. I'm going to actually reference the one from Time Magazine, which was older, and that was from, I want to say, 5 years ago. Hold on, yeah, 5 years ago. And you know, they talk about how, and I don't even know if I can say these terms, so I won't. But it's in Time Magazine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to say it. We can all deduce what I mean. So there was a term for Asians. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to just read. It says, for example, the term whatever for Asians became impolite 25 years ago. Yet it's true that Asian heritage for Chinese, Japanese, and Korean people is in the Orient.
Yeah.
Okay, that I could say. Traditionally a Western word for Asia. One now and then hears somebody, usually of a certain age, grousing that, well, now they want to be called Asians, with an air of dismissal, as if people go around willfully creating confusion and feigning hurt. And they use that term. They use the term home relief compared to welfare. They use the term crippled for somebody who doesn't have use of their limbs.
Yeah.
And it really is interesting how they connect the psychology behind it, where even if it's not a slur,
yeah.
a literal slur, it's a subservient dismissal
yeah.
of that group of people.
That's right.
And I think that's just where we are with the Redskins.
Yeah, of course. It's no that's different than mentally disabled individuals now. We know that word that used to be used, and it's reprehensible when you think about it now. But when you were younger, when we were younger, you didn't even think about it.
You didn't.
In that context. But it's changed, right? Society changes, and our acceptance of certain words change. And the Redskins are exactly in that boat right now. And it's been that way for a while now. And for whatever reason, Daniel Snyder's never even entertained it. But now, because they're going after his pocketbook, he's entertaining it. And he's smart, too. And I'm glad that corporate America has started to exercise their power and throw their weight around when it comes to issues like this. It's not dissimilar to Ben and Jerry's statement after the George Floyd killing, where they said, you know, posted on their social sites, we need to, you know, get rid of systematic racism in this country. And so I'm glad that we're in this point in our country right now where corporate America does the right thing and uses their influence, their money, their power, their influence to change things that are wrong.
But that's the only thing that's going to generate a reaction,
that's
which
right.
is why nobody should be in a rush to throw any platitudes in the direction of Daniel Snyder.
No.
Now let's call it for what it is. Daniel Snyder, when he eventually changes the name, he'll do so out of you know, self-preservation from a monetary aspect, not because he suddenly had this epiphany, this awakening that he needed to do the right thing. And you can't lose sight of that. Now,
that's right.
you either change it or you don't. And maybe as time goes on, some of the details will be obscured and somewhat blurred. I mean, 30, 40, 50 years from now. I mean, right now it's centrally on our minds. You know, FedEx did this and Nike did this and $620 billion from their investors. They were, you know, trying to implore their people. The story that you told. Not to... not to support the Redskins.
Yep.
So that'll fade over time, and eventually we'll have the new name, and Daniel Snyder will be known as the guy who finally came around and changed the name. But the origin, the beginnings of his decision are not rooted in anything that's good, anything mm-hmm. that's noble.
Yeah,
it's
almost like he's being forced to.
Yeah,
but sometimes
he is.
But even if you are being forced to do something, you still got to do the right thing. He's still his decision.
Of course,
he's still his decision. You have an idea? What would you call the new Redskins?
about the
I had one. I said the Generals. The Washington Generals.
The Washington Generals?
Yeah, you know, George
it's
Washington.
The biggest loser group of all time.
He was a general, you know what I mean.
They're ripping down George Washington statues. They're throwing blood on it. You want to call them the George the Washington, which is ridiculous, by the way.
I don't disagree.
You
want to,
but come on. You can't call them. That will never fly. The Washington Generals got their asses handed to them by 70 points every time they played the Harlem Globetrotters, which actually fits because the Redskins have been terrible.
Yeah, but they can remake it. That's why I said this, right? They can remake the name. There's not like a storied history behind it.
No. Let me read you one more little thing. For this really is a good time article. Just do the Google. Do a Google search from 2015, May of 2015, about this. And this isn't too long, but this completely illuminates what I was getting at before. Some may quietly harbor another question. What's so terrible about referring to the fact that many Native Americans have a reddish skin tone compared to other people? Hmm. It's not as if having red skin, in quotes, is a negative or even a humorous trait. Yeah. It isn't illogical to wonder deep down whether Native Americans are fashioning a controversy. They aren't, though, because these words can come and have come to have meanings quite different from their literal ones. And when it comes to matters of insult and dignity, meaning counts.
Yeah.
It's a good encapsulation right there.
You're right. Yeah, the literal definition of it is not offensive, but the how it's been used in a negative way has been.
Yeah, yeah. So what should we call them? That's a great question. I really wish I could read what I wrote earlier today on our Slack channel. Santa's typing the hugs.
You would get a lot of positive, I think, responses.
Yeah, because I didn't narrow either side of the of the aisle here. No. I just said basically everybody, one big lump.
All of you in D.C.
Yeah. I'm sure the 1% is decent, that's noble, trying to do the right thing. Uh-huh. Everybody's out with a handout and trying to get what's good for them.
Yeah, they have to run for re-election.
Of course. Yeah, sure. Then they say what people want to hear, and then mm-hmm. they get voted and they do nothing.
Exactly.
All right. So we're going to be joined by a woman who is on a crusade, an absolute crusade, has been for a long time, and her name is Crystal Echo Hawk. All right. And she is part of a chapter. I'll give you the exact. Do you have it in front of you, Tika?
Illuminative.
That has been obviously, you know, at the forefront of trying to just eradicate this name. So she's very passionate. I was looking at her Twitter page before. She's all over this, retweeting everything from FedEx and Nike. And, she's going to be good. And she will join us next on the decision eventually by Daniel Snyder to change the name of the Redskins. That's coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free in line is 1-855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We will usually do inbounds, out of bounds in the first hour of the show, but today we had Dale Murphy at 3:40 Eastern, and we're going to kick back IBOB to 4:40 Eastern, so that's next segment. Santa's put up a good menu of diverse topics. We'll hit that. That's always fun. But right now, Teak, it is time. I don't know about you, but we'll ask our questions, but I'm going to do a whole lot more listening this segment than I do speaking, which is rare. Because I need to be educated here. I really want to learn something today. And we're joined now by Crystal Echo Hawk. She's the founder and executive director of Illuminative, a Native-led, as I read, nonprofit organization launched to increase the visibility of Native peoples in American society by changing the national narrative. And obviously, she's been tweeting the last couple of days, the news with the Redskins. Money will motivate you. And Daniel Snyder's got some decisions. Crystal, welcome to our show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on.
You got it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Crystal. Let me ask you the first question, because BT and I talked about this yesterday, and I don't know if we have an answer. Was there a specific moment or time in our history, recent history, I'm assuming, when the word Redskin, as represented by the Washington Redskins, became offensive? Or has it always been that way for Native Americans in general? I know you're a member of the Pawnee Nation, but just in general for Native Americans, what's been the feel or the tenor of that word for your culture?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, you know, it is a dictionary defined racial slur. And this is erupting into the American consciousness right in this moment because we're in a reckoning with systemic racism since, you know, everything since George Floyd's murder, right, has just, I mean, you know, changed everything. And for people who are watching this unfold right now with the Washington football team, this might seem like a new thing, right? But this has always been a racial slur, right? And its origins go all the way back into the 17th century, right, as a derogatory term used, but really where it really took hold was in the 1800s when the term, and I'm only going to say it for educational purposes for your listeners because it is a slur, but Redskins was the way in which they would put bounties on Native American tents. They would advertise it. They would advertise it in papers, and they would say, for $200, bring in a Redskin, right, and let's send them to hell, right?
Yeah.
Like that language. So it was literally an act of murder, and it was people bringing in the scalps of Native Americans to collect their payment.
Yeah.
That is the origin of the word. It is rooted in violence, in murder, and racism, and hate.
What?
Right. And so that's going back into the 1800s. That's the origin. So for us, the R word is the N word.
Yeah.
It is that thing.
Let me ask you, Crystal, then why has this taken so long to hit our national conscious? I know that this has been kind of a 2-decade conversation in a sense, but why has it taken so long if it's viewed that way by so many?
You know, Native Americans have been fighting, as you pointed out, for, you know, more than 2 decades. Right, with the team demanding that the team change the name, educating them about a racial slur. I mean, this has been litigated all the way up to the Supreme Court. I mean, Native Americans have been working and organizing. I think the biggest thing, and it's a larger societal issue,
yeah.
I think, is that Native Americans we're just erased often. You know, even sometimes in these moments where conversations around racial justice, many Americans aren't even sure if Native Americans still exist, right? We did research a couple of years ago that found that nearly 80% of Americans know little to nothing about Native Americans.
Wow.
And 72% never even encounter information on a daily basis about Native Americans, which is really extraordinary, right, as we live in this huge media consumption environment. And so I think a lot of Americans just don't think about us, right? We're out of sight, out of mind. And the last data point, you know, they think about is us a long time ago. And we actually found through our research that 90% of schools don't teach about Native peoples past 1900. So for most Americans, I think we live in this kind of ancient past, right? And there's a lot of romanticized notions, right, about who Native Americans were, right, and not who we are today. And so I think our voice is often silenced or disregarded. I think that's how the team has gotten away with this for so long and has continuously ignored, you know, Native American leaders, tribal leaders. You know, we've conducted our own polls, our own research. There's actually scientific evidence that shows that this causes psychological harm on Native American children. It increases depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. There's also scientific research shows that the team name and mascots also help to advance prejudice against Native Americans. And the team knows all this, right? You know, they've managed to get away with it. But I think this groundswell, this amazing groundswell of people standing with Native Americans in this moment, saying enough is enough, the time is now, and the name and the logo have to go, is really what has caused this incredible moment that we're in.
Yeah, it's the air in the sails that you guys definitely needed. And Crystal Echo Hulk is with us here. She's a member of the Pawnee Nation. She's the founder and executive director of Illuminative, as I said before. Obviously, the Washington Redskins is, I don't even want to say the word now, the Washington team is a huge story. Let me ask you this. When people are motivated by money, and I said this to Tiki before you joined us, Crystal, like, by no measurement should Daniel Snyder, when he changes the name, I don't believe that he should be lauded, because we all know why he's doing it, because his main sponsors have threatened to take money out of his pocket. The motivation isn't to do what's right, it's to save money. So when they do change the name, I'm sure you'll be happy that it's changed, but will you view Daniel Snyder differently knowing that the motivation really was just about money?
You know, I think I think Daniel Snyder has made his character perfectly clear, right, over the years, and his tactics, of which he's really used to silence Native American voices. So We're going to be happy that the name has changed, but to your point, I think that we, you know, it's not motivated by what's right. And I think that just is a statement in itself,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We understand, but, you know, I really want to applaud, you know, it took probably a lot longer than we wanted, but to see FedEx, Bank of America, PepsiCo, I think, you know, Nike pulling their apparel. I'm sure we're going to hear a statement from Nike anytime now, right? Thank you. Right.
Yep.
Thank you. Because I think the American public, the consumers, they don't want hollow words. Right. And everybody's making grand pronouncements about fighting racism. But we can't, as a society, pick and choose the kind of racism we want to fight and ignore and turn a blind eye to others. Right.
Yeah.
And so in this moment, it is about fighting racism against Native Americans. But it's also in this moment, it's fighting racism against Black people and Asians and down the line. Right. And Latinx. We need to be in this moment. You know, we have the opportunity to fashion a better society, right? A more just society.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think in this moment, it's so exciting to see what's happening, but we're not going to stop here, right, with the team. I mean, really, the league needs to just outright ban Native mascots, imagery, and the fan behavior that goes along with it, with red face, right? And the tomahawk chop. I mean, these things are all offensive, right? And it's documented about the harm it causes. And so, you know, we're not stopping, right? And there's conversations that need to be had in Major League Baseball, in the NHL, and we need to be talking about collegiate
college sports. Yeah.
Crystal,
well,
can I ask you something, Crystal? Chris, I'm sorry, I want to make sure I get this too. So I'm half Irish, right? And I've never had any issue with the leprechaun, Notre Dame's logo, the Fighting Irish. You know, obviously, the Irish, they drink, they fight, whatever. Okay. But, I mean this from the most pure place, like, educate me. The headwear and the tools of self-defense that are associated
with the imagery.
Imagery. Like, why is that literally offensive? I really don't understand why, and I want to know why.
Well, I mean, if you really, what will help is, you know, blackface, right?
Yeah.
When you think about blackface and the history of blackface, right, and it its racist origins, right, we understand that that's offensive. Redface is the same thing. Right. Red face and those kind of racist origins and the way that you know, people have painted up. I mean, that is offensive. It's racist in its origin. And so I think, you know, to help people understand when we talk about that, that's what ends up happening when you have racialized imagery and brands and mascots. And you've got people putting on the headdresses and whatnot. Those things are sacred to Native American people.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you imagine some of the most sacred things that, you know, come from your own
heritage,
your own faith.
Yep.
Right, your heritage, and you imagine somebody running around and sort of jacking them up and making fun, right? Even though,
is
there a level of respect as well?
Yeah,
you know, and I also ask this because you think about teams like the Braves, the Atlanta Braves, or the Seminoles down at Florida State, the Chiefs, who just won the Super Bowl,
or the
Blackhawks, the Indians. Yeah. What about those names? They're not racist in connotation, but they are depicting of Native Americans as mascots.
And I think it's just that we are human beings. We are not mascots. And that, you know, and the science shows, right, that when those caricatures, those mascots, they really serve to be dehumanizing. And I understand and appreciate that people are like, no, we just honor it, or people have emotional attachments to these things.
Yeah.
But I think, like all things, as we start to learn science and we start to understand harm that these things cause, we need to let them go, right? And there is documented evidence about the harm that they cause on Native American children, right? And the way that they do advance prejudice and bias. And Native Americans have been saying, like, we don't want to be mocked. We don't want to be mimicked. We take it that way. It's offensive, right, to us to see those symbols, that imagery, and it opens doors for fan behavior across this country. Right, where you also get the rival teams, what we've seen when we saw at the Super Bowl, hate speech, right?
Yeah.
Around the Chiefs and kill the Indians. There was a lot of that going on. There was studies that got published right after the Super Bowl about the level of sort of hate speech that comes out when rival teams, right, and their fans are going against it, that you get those kind of messages like massacre the Indians and all kinds of things.
Which is taken out of context. And
it
becomes offensive for those who aren't dialed in to what's happening colloquially. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I just think there's, you know, we always hear, well, we're just honoring you. No, you're not. The way you honor us is to hear us. And we've been telling you for decades that we're not your mascot. And these things have to go. And I think we're in this moment, right, where now is the time. and we can all be on the right side of history, and we can love and celebrate sports. And I'm excited about the alternatives, right, mm-hmm. of new mascots and new things that don't have to be harmful and don't have to be hurtful and don't have to be racist. And I know that there's well-intentioned people out there that don't, you know, put on stuff and intend to go out and be racist, but this is part of this moment of education, right, for people to understand. And we're just really calling people in to understand that it is harmful, it is hurtful, and it's time to change, and we're excited for people to stand with us in this moment.
Crystal, we're up against it. But give us a website real quick so people could go and learn a little bit more, get further educated. Where can we direct them?
Yes, please go to illuminatives.org. And we have a tab called Change the Name, and there's an entire, you know, page with graphics, fact sheets, information about the research that I cited, and just follow us on social media and join the movement.
Really appreciate you coming on. Some really profound stuff. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Take care.
Be well.
Same to you. That was good. That was good. Teague, we're a little late. We can certainly react to that a little bit when we get back after Marco's update. Also, inbounds, out of bounds, but Marco Belletti, he's got you now. I'll tell you what's happening. Here's Marco. Bounds in a moment. Good stuff. A lot of important content here. Teague and Tierney on this Friday. And I want to remind you, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, take a look back on football history. Relive the epic moments as the Colts try and stop Tom Brady and the Pats in the 2014 AFC Championship game. Don't miss NFL Rewind on CBS Sports. All right, Tiki and Tierney back here on CBS Sports Radio. Give you a quick look at the next hour, then we'll get to the inbounds, out of bounds. So it could be a second bubble. This has been discussed for a while here for the non-NBA playoff teams. Tiki and I'll kick it around. We've got Kenny the Jet Smith who will join us a little bit, roughly 40 minutes from now, so a big third hour coming up. And Antonio Brown thrown with Russell Wilson. Imagine Metcalf and Russell and Antonio Brown. Imagine that.
That'd be an explosive offensive wide receiving group for sure.
Man, you gotta kick the tires if you see it, right? If people who think, now we don't think this necessarily, but if people think that Brandon Marshall particularly, that the Packers have kind of wasted some of Aaron Rodgers' career, you could kind of say the same thing about Russell Wilson, given his relative dearth of weapons over the years. Go get him another weapon on the cheap.
True, but they went to at least a couple of Super Bowls.
I understand.
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Philip Dorsett, David Moore.
Bring in AB. Ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go, Teague. So if the 2020 NFL season actually happens, dear football gods, please let it happen. Players will be subjected to a number of COVID-related protocols and restrictions. Now, ESPN reports that players were informed by the NFLPA that they could be fined for ignoring protocols or other, quote, reckless behavior away from the field, such as eating at restaurants or using ride-share services. In or out, the NFL should fine and maybe even suspend players and coaches who ignore safety protocols.
I'm going to say out of bounds to this, BT, because if you end up missing time because you contract the coronavirus, it's kind of not dissimilar outside of the facility, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the non-football injury clause that's already included in your contracts. And so there'll be an investigation just like there would be one if you, were playing basketball and hurt your ankle or cut your hand in the kitchen doing something and it kept you out for a significant time. They'll do some investigation. If they determine that you were negligent to your responsibilities as a player and or coach, I don't know if coaches have this clause, but I know players do, then you'll be out without pay. So I'm going to say out of bounds to that because I don't think you can infringe upon their liberties as a private enterprise.
It's far too logical of a response. I mean, come on. What are you hitting me with logic for?
I'm just telling you. Because this was going to happen. The PA is going to like fight them if they get fined or suspended or something like that. And that's what it's going to come down to. So come down to legal ease.
My answer was far less cerebral. Just I say inbounds, just if nothing else, as a deterrent. Even though I'm a possible deterrent, even though the union could fight it and probably get all fines and suspensions rescinded, I hear you. I would just say this unique state of where we are in the world in 2020. If you want to get back to playing games, probably calls for a really unique and rules that infringe on your personal space too. I hear you, but my answer was inbounds when I read it before the show, and I'll stick with it. I mean, it just maybe dissuades 3, 4, 7, 10, 12 people out of over 1,000 in the NFL from doing something sloppy, and maybe that actually keeps the season going. Who knows?
Are you in or are you out?
All right, George Kittle might be the best tight end in football, but the pass-catching star wants to be paid more than just the best tight end, wants a little more cheese. Now The Athletic reports Kittle could ultimately land a long-term deal worth about 13 million bones a season, which would be $3 million more than the next highest paid tight end, who is Austin Hooper. However, Kittle reportedly wants more than that and closer to the top wide receiver contract. In or out, a $13 million average salary is a good deal for both Kittle and the Niners.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT. The actual highest tight end is Hunter Henry. He's making 10.6 in the league. But when you go back and you look at the previous highs, which was Travis Kelce, this is before Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper, Travis Kelce's jump from where it was about 15-20% from the previous high. If Kittle gets 13 million, it's like a 30% jump from the previous high and putting you closer towards a wide receiver. He's 26 years old or 27 years old. He was a fifth round pick, so he's never been paid. Nope. I think this is right for him, and I think it's right for the 49ers, who don't have a ton of cap space, by the way. They're only $12 million under the cap, so you'd have to get really creative with the structure of this thing so it doesn't penalize you in the subsequent year. So I'm going to say inbounds. I think it is the right deal, but you got to be careful thinking about paying tight ends like wide receivers.
You know, not only is he, you know, one of the best players vertically, any position, but he's also, you know, on the short list of players you really want to watch. You really want to watch this guy play football. Like, he's got passion, he's got moves, he's got wiggle, he's got burst, he's got, you know, he's just got a presence. He's got a dynamic presence, and that plays out in the stats. I mean, he catches almost 90 balls a year. He gets a ton of targets, and you know, you'd like to see a few more touchdowns. He's had 5 the last couple of years, but that's more of a product of a relatively conservative offense. I think the world of this guy. I think he's an absolute superstar. I think 13's a fine number. I have no problem with it. My answer is inbounds as well. I don't care what Hooper's making. Hunter Henry, all these guys are fine. They're good. They cannot shine this guy's shoes. I mean, this guy is a legitimate superstar who changes the entire tenor of a stadium's level of enthusiasm. Not many guys can do it. Think about that. Not many players can do that. Like, obviously, Ray Lewis could do that. There's a couple of defensive players like Prime and Lawrence Taylor over the years. But, you know, Barry Sanders could do it offensively. And, of course, I'm leaving out a relatively long list, I'm sure. But now, like now, George Kittle's one of those guys because he plays with a ferocity kind of like Shockey.
Yeah.
Only he's faster.
Yeah.
I mean, he just injects a jolt of enthusiasm into that stadium. Well, I love the guy. My answer is inbounds. Pay him.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, moving on. Number Trey, McCourt, is that how you say it? Is it McCourt?
McCourt.
It is McCourt.
McCourt
Baker, Thon Maker's brother. It's a really interesting story.
Yeah, it is.
I know we're going to want to circle back to this in the third hour. We were going back and forth on Slack with this. This is incredible. 5-star hoops recruit, all right, who was deciding between Kentucky, Memphis, and UCLA. But you know where he's going? He's going to historically black college Howard. So Maker is the cousin of Pistons forward Thon Maker, and he's the first 5-star prospect to commit to an HSBC in recent history and would be the first HSBC player drafted since 2012. That was Kyle O'Quinn, a New York kid. All right, in or out. Considering the social climate, we will see more 5-star prospects committing to HSBCs.
This is a hard one. I'm going to say out of bounds, even though I hope that it does lead to a trend, especially for specific, you know, elite players. Now, the reason this is important for McCourt is because he could go anywhere. He could have done anything. He could have went to play in Europe. He could have played in the developmental G League, whatever that thing is called, developmental program. He could have went to one of the Blue Buds. It wouldn't have mattered. Because he was going to be potentially a lottery pick next year anyways. And so by choosing to go to a historically black college university, he's taking advantage, not taking advantage, but he's capitalizing on the movement that's happening in this country right now, this racial equity awareness thing that's happening in our country is important to him. When you listen to him speak, he's very aware and acute and intelligent. And I know he knows this means something more than just, I want to go to Howard, which, by the way, has won 4 games over the last 2 seasons. So they're not a good program.
They could use him.
But they could use him. And it's not going to matter where he goes to school. If he gets drafted number one overall, I think it might start to trend it the other way. Maybe it starts becoming a trend. But my gut is that it won't be.
Listen, this is a great thing. And there's been, I've heard conversations about this now for well over a year.
That's right.
Where there was, a group of young players that have, really thought about this. This is not out of nowhere. This has actually been percolating for a while. I'm going to say inbounds. But you have to understand the way Mike frames the question, that it's going to lead to more five stars going to historically black colleges. None went. So the fact, even if one more decides to go, the answer would literally be inbounds.
Yeah, if two go, it's 100% increase from last year.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking at it that way. I think it's really interesting. I think it's really cool. But as again, we were going back and forth on our Slack channel today. Some of the other schools in the MEAC, not that that's the only conference that has that historically black schools, but the Howard's Conference, for example, right? Like Maryland Eastern Shore. Coppin State, Bethune, some of these facilities just aren't very good.
Yeah.
And this gentleman, this young man, is, from Kenya, spent time in Australia. He's not your typical American kid who's coddled and has his hand held from the time he's 9 because he's great at hoops and he gets everything given to him. So when it's time to pick a college, if he's going to college, he wants to charter flights, he wants to play in front of 20,000 people. Yep. It takes a unique young man to weigh the merits of everything and not just basketball.
Yeah.
And I think most young men care more about basketball than being a symbol of real change for this.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a crapshoot. The competition's not as good. And think about this. Even Cole Anthony. We thought Cole Anthony was going to be the first overall pick this year.
Right.
Cole Anthony went to camp. I know he got hurt. But he went to Kenya. He's not what we thought he was, with all due respect to Greg and Cole.
Right.
He might not even go top 10. So there's no guarantee this young man becomes a superstar. That's not the point. He's got 5 stars next to his name, and he's going to Howard. And that's huge. That's huge. That's pretty cool. Good for him.
It stands alone, by the way. Just the fact that he's going to Howard stands alone. Whether it starts a trend, we'll see. But that's awesome. It's awesome for Howard.
I agree. It's almost less about basketball. It's about both, but I got you. All right, Kenny Smith coming up next hour. Orlando's Bubble will hit that. TK and Tierney, third hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.